VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. U.S. diplomat Gordon Sondland emphatically told the impeachment inquiry targeting President Trump Wednesday that despite the president's denial, there was a conditional deal in recent months that Ukraine would not get military aid it wanted unless it opened investigations to benefit Mr. Trump politically.
Gordon Sondland said President Trump and his lawyer Rudy Giuliani explicitly pushed for a quid pro quo, an Oval Office visit for political investigations of Democrats.
Everyone was in the loop. It was no secret.
House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff says Sondland's testimony is deeply significant and troubling. He said he had to be convinced to start the impeachment inquiry.
Not by the whistleblower, but by the actions of the president.
New York Republican Elise Stefanik says Gordon Sondland is not changing her mind.
When it comes to impeachable offenses, they have yet to point to a shred of evidence.
What did the president want from Ukraine?
I want nothing.
He says the Democrats want to drum him from office. Ed Donahue, Washington.
The impeachment inquiry into allegations the president sought to pressure Ukraine was the first topic on the agenda Wednesday night as Democrats competing to be the party's nominee in the 2020 election squared off in their latest debate. Candidates still have about 11 weeks before voting begins to sway voters and make the case that they should be the one to oppose President Trump. Ex-military chief Benny Gantz informed Israeli President Reuven Rivlin on Wednesday that he has failed to form a coalition government, almost guaranteeing Israelis will head to the polls for the third time this year after political deadlock paralyzed the government. The political stalemate began after elections in April and September. Current Premier Benjamin Netanyahu's right-wing Likud party and Gantz's centrist Blue and White party both won approximately the same number of seats to become the largest parties in the legislature. This is VOA News. Iranian President Rouhani on Wednesday claimed victory over unrest he blamed on Iran's foreign enemies. According to state media, after protests over an increase in gasoline prices last week that have shaken the country, Emily Spickle reports.
Thousands of Iranians joined pro-government rallies in several cities on Wednesday. It comes after Amnesty International said more than 100 protesters had been killed in days of demonstrations in 21 cities. Around 1,000 protesters have been arrested. Iran has gone on the defensive, restricting access to the internet, making it nearly impossible for protesters to post social media videos of demonstrations, blaming thugs linked to exiles and foreign enemies for the protests, like the US, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, and its mission to the UN called Amnesty's report baseless allegations and fabricated figures.
Syrian forces shelled a displaced persons camp in rebel-held Idlib on Wednesday, killing at least 15 civilians. That's according to anti-government activists. The missiles set a number of tents on fire. Two missiles fell just outside a maternity hospital and the camp near the border with Turkey. The White Helmet Rescue Group says that six children are among the dead. Idlib province in northwestern Syria is the latest major section of the country still under rebel control. A Russian brokered truce in August intended to de-escalate the attacks by both sides has just about totally collapsed. General Motors has filed a lawsuit against a rival, and the UAW president has resigned. We get more from AP correspondent Mike Rossia.
A lawsuit filed by General Motors against Fiat Chrysler Wednesday set off a chain of events that led to the resignation of the United Auto Workers president late in the day. Before his resignation, the UAW's International Executive Board had initiated steps to oust UAW President Gary Jones and Regional Director Vance Pearson because of a federal investigation into union corruption that's led to multiple arrests. Pearson is facing criminal charges. In its lawsuit, GM accuses Fiat Chrysler of bribing union officials to get concessions and gain advantages in three labor agreements with the union. I'm Mike Gracia.
U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper said on Thursday that he was unaware of any plans to withdraw 4,000 U.S. troops from South Korea if talks on cost-sharing fail. Asked if there was any threat to withdraw U.S. forces from South Korea if the talks failed, Esper said that we're not threatening allies over this. This is a negotiation. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.